Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody, for a very rare special Tuesday night show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Stalica, David Quid Pro Quo Griggs, Rocco Miller, and John Tytel. We're doing a special show here tonight about exempt tournaments.
Special. We don't normally have specials during the year.
Well, then should we stop and I'll go watch the rest of the games tonight?
Yeah, maybe so. But no, that's why it's a special. Like, okay. you know, under the radar, not a special. It's a weekly.
Well, David, I know you're a bit of an expert on how these things get scheduled, and I know it's actually going to be changing come next season, but these in-season tournaments or exempt events, can you give people that aren't that familiar with how they work with a little bit of background on it?
Right. They have several. I guess the official name it now is MTE, which is a multi-team event. They used to call them exempt tournaments. In fact, a lot of people still do. Essentially, the rules are in scheduling, the current rules, not what we're changing to, but currently you are allowed 29 games and a conference tournament as an option A. Or if you're in a multi-team event, you're allowed the multi-team event and 27 games. Multi-team events can play up to four games. The rules are that all games must be played within 14 days and all participants must be in from different conferences. That is really the only restrictions. If you want a bracketed event, like a lot of what we see in Maui, the NIT and, you know, Battle for Atlantis, that's fine. If you want some sort of round robin event, I know that there's been a lot of those. That's fine. A lot of these multi-team events are really multi-team events technically only. It's just a group of five teams that all agreed to schedule and play each other within 14 days. And so they could get four extra games because, you know, a multi-team event plus 27 games can get you out to 31. The rules are changing. We don't officially know how they are. It's not officially changed, but it all practically is. They're going to go to 29 games and then 31 if you're in a multi-team event. So it would be 31 regardless. If you're in a multi-team event and it's only four teams and it's bracketed, then you can play those two and then 29 games. If you're in a bracket of eight, then you can play those three plus 28 more games. Am I making sense?
Well, yeah. the big change, though, David, that's probably coming for next year is it's going to be lit down to only three games for a multi-team event, not four games.
Right.
And that
no
they're,
campus
and they're, games. And they're going to be eliminating games against non-D1 teams. So
yes.
a lot of these stupid non-D1 games you're seeing
with two exceptions.
Yeah, very minor exceptions. If it's actually the host team, so Chaminade has an exception. But but we'll get to that probably more later on in the year when that becomes official. I think they're going to be meeting in January to make that official. But what we want to talk about tonight's show is actually the bracketed events. We don't care about the round robin events. It's pretty much just like a regular season schedule.
We really want to go
through the bracketed events. And what I wanted to do here is pull up on the screen if I get things to work right, which happens about
$109 pastrami sandwich.
This is our Hoops HD website. And if you're not familiar with what this looks like, I don't know how the heck you're watching this.
Is that what it is? Like, that's it. Like, I don't think I've seen it before.
But if you look up here, we have on the second row of tab, this is in-season tournaments. And I'm going to be pulling that tab up, and we're just going to go right through that tab tonight and take a look at all of these bracketed events for this season. Most of them are eight team, some of them are four team events, but either way, we're going to go through all of them. We're going to talk about these matchups and we're going to talk about who we think is going to win them. And they are going to be starting this week on Thursday. That's why we're doing this right now, but I guess let's get right into it. The first event that starts is the Myrtle Beach Invitational. Rocco, let me bring you on in here. You got Villanova here, but do you have much else to really look at?
Yeah, I think Baylor's a solid club.
Yeah,
I think you know they of course blew that game against Washington in the opener or Washington's opener, but yeah, first week of the year, I think a Villanova Baylor final will be a quality game, and I would be pretty surprised if it doesn't happen. Utah's off to a really nice start to the year. They'll have to actually play a pretty tricky game in the first game on Coastal Carolina's home court, so that will be a tough test right out of the gate for them. And then of course looking at most likely Baylor in the second round. So I don't see them getting to the finals. But Mississippi State, a team I'm not as high on preseason-wise, we're going to learn a lot about them this weekend. They should get by their first game with Tulane there. But I think they'll run into a brick wall with Villanova, especially with Villanova getting Brian Antoine back for the first time this weekend. So chance to see him three times potentially.
Yeah, I'm not expecting much out of Middle Tennessee, who has not looked good at all so far this season, or Tulane. But Tytel, you got a pick to win this event.
I think it's easy to pick Villanova, despite the fact that they got dump trucked by Ohio State last week. But I will go with the Wildcats, a very young team. So this is the kind of tournament early in November where a veteran team can beat them based on experience. But it's hard to outcoach Jay Wright. He's got lots of three-point shooters and decent size. So I'll go with the Cats.
David, is there any type of surprise you could see happening here? Is there any team that may, because we see that a few of these events every year is somebody that we're not even talking about suddenly sneaks up and wins one of these events and gets right to that national spotlight.
Or if not wins it, like get some quality wins along the way. I kind of like this Utah team. This is kind of a chance for them to put, you know, if they play well and pick up a win or two against the light, against, well, what amounts to anybody other than Coastal Carolina. I think that that's a good way to kind of catapult them into the season. Ohio U is interesting. I wasn't really big on them. I think we kind of picked them near the bottom of the MAC, but they've looked good so far. I just think Baylor is too tall of an order. But when they get into the, like, I guess the loser side of the bracket against the Tulane and Coastal Carolina and Middle Tennessee, they could come out of this with two wins. Now, I know that that's not NCAA tournament caliber wins, but they're kind of on pace to make a postseason tournament of some sort if they get out of here with two.
Yeah, and there are the consolation brackets, so everybody will get three games in all these events. Even you may go 0-3, but you'll get three games.
Yeah.
The other event that's starting this week on Thursday, the other eight-team event, at least starting on Thursday, Stalika, is a Charleston Classic, including Florida and Eura Xavier Musketeers. Stalika, are you with us?
Stalika, what a take.
We have a wonderful comment from Stalika. So, yeah. David, you want to fill in for him here?
Yeah, and again, just, when you sort of see how this is put together, it looks like it's a seeded a bit. I will say this, Missouri State kind of took Xavier to the wall earlier. They're one of our favorites to win the Missouri Valley. They've got a winnable first-round game against Miami. And then we've all seen how strong Florida has been lately. So Missouri State is set up to do well in this event, even if they don't win it. If they can get I think that not only the first game, but the second game as well might be winnable, and they could really get a lot out of this.
Dave, a couple of things I look for. St. Joe's with that big upset win over UConn, who is also in this event, they could have a rematch. The way Florida's looked, I would not be surprised to see St. Joe's win that first-round game on Thursday.
Yeah, I keep waiting for Florida to quit playing with their food and wake up. Okay. But, I mean, when they didn't do it after the first game that they lost, you wonder if they ever are. Because, UConn, not the best team, but they did beat Florida. So, is this – like, I mean, if Florida wins this tournament, which is still possible – I think, they're kind of back on the national stage and back on the track that they need to be. Buffalo, not impressive at all this year after being so good for the last several years. Cool. And I'm assuming that's Miami, Ohio, or Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida. It's Miami, Florida. Rocco, the Buffalo-UConn game, Danny Hurley against his brother's former school. I mean, is that a storyline or is that a little stretch?
A little stretch. I'm sure we'll hear about it, though. And that game, I mean, by itself is almost impossible to predict. UConn beating a Florida team that we're still trying to figure out as well over the weekend. Buffalo beating Harvard when Harvard got a couple of their key guys back, but also lost to Dartmouth. So it's pretty much a toss-up between Buffalo and UConn. I also think that Missouri State-Miami game is a total toss-up as well. When you look at these eight-team events, too, one thing I like to think about is now this one specifically has a one-day break between Friday and Sunday, but just what type of rosters and depth do these teams bring so they can actually win three games in the 3 or 4 days? Missouri State came in with high expectations this year. They're playing a tiny bit better in their last performance. Maybe they're a team that could surprise. I think this tournament's open for a surprise, though.
Well, I think we do have Stalika back, and if we do, I just want to give him 3 seconds here to give a take on Xavier's chances in this event.
There are three teams right now that could probably be sent to The Hague for crimes against basketball. But that being said, I still think Xavier is going to be one of the favorites to win this right now.
Yeah, I could see that. Chad, you mentioned the break between Friday and Sunday.
Rocco mentioned that.
But Rocco mentioned Rocco, you mentioned the break between Friday and Sunday. The reason for that, it's not rest or anything like that. They used to not do that, but so many of these are made for television.
Right.
ESPN puts it on, and with Saturday being a big college football day, they just simply take the day off.
College football, what's that?
I don't know.
Yeah, and then I noticed they also put the championship game not going up against most of the NFL. So
yeah.
Titel, is there an upset pick you pick in this one, or do you think it comes down to like a Xavier Florida game? Like I'm kind of hearing.
It should come down to Xavier Florida, but as we all mentioned, I mean the fact that Buffalo and UConn have had some big wins so far, I mean I think it is up for grabs, and the fact that. It's not right in Xavier's backyard. So my pick is Xavier, but up for grabs.
I guess the way the bracket is set, there's a good chance UConn gets a rematch against either Florida or St. Joe's on Sunday. Weird that they normally don't see that often. But
yeah, I believe the St. Joe's game was a campus game.
Okay, as part of this. It was a fourth
game. The Florida
game
was just a regularly scheduled game. So.
All right. Let's move over to the 2K Empire Classic, which is probably the most fascinating of the events for this first weekend. Rocco, let me ask you about this. Georgetown, Texas, Duke, and an undefeated Cal team.
Undefeated Cal team. They barely survived against Cal. Was it Prairie View last night?
Prairie View, yep.
Yeah, but they're undefeated.
Oh, our friend Lee Del Vecchio was losing his mind. It was beautiful.
That was funny. I saw that on the email. So, Texas, I mentioned them on yesterday's show. I like what I've seen so far. They're getting after it on the defensive end. Georgetown has already had some suspect performances against Georgia State and Penn State. So hard for me to pick Georgetown there. I'll take Texas. And then Duke, of course, superior to Cal in terms of overall roster depth. But Cal playing very well. Matt Bradley, he's probably going to be the best shooter out of anybody out of these four teams. If he gets hot, maybe Cal stays in it for a while. And I do give Cal a shot to take out Georgetown in the third place game. So that'll be interesting. I think it sets up for a great Duke versus Texas game and a really good test to see where Texas is at for real.
But I assume you pick a Duke to win it.
Yeah, I'll take Duke just to be safe. But Texas could do it, I think.
Salika, since you had connection problems, you're going to have to deal with – I'm going to force you to take the next bracket here. It is the visitors bracket, half of the Empire Classic. It's going to be on Flow Hoops. It's Georgia State, Prairie View, Cal Baptist, and Central Arkansas. You want to give us a preview and tell us who's going to win it?
Well, it's going to be hosted by Cal Baptist right here.
All right.
One's in Madison Square Garden. The other one is in Riverside, California. Same event. Mm-hmm. All right.
I would be shocked if we did not have a Georgia State Cal Baptist final, but I still think Georgia State probably the more most talented out of this foursome right here. I think Georgia State wins, but don't be shocked if the Lancers do pull it out.
Well, starting Friday, David, it's going to be the Island of the Bahamas Showcase.
Yeah.
Slightly interesting event here because while it's not a lot of big names and a very bad George Washington team is probably the biggest name brand in there, an Evansville team that won at Kentucky and a Liberty team that's looked real good so far this season off of an NCAA tournament last year.
Right. Not a whole lot of meat here. Liberty really, you kind of wish they could have gotten into an event with stronger teams simply because it would have served as more of a resume builder, an opportunity to build more resumes. Evansville, while they did get the win at Kentucky, was not able to beat SMU the other night. Not that SMU's bad, but if Evansville really was a solid, like, top 30, top 25 team, you would have expected them to win that game at home. I like Liberty more than the other teams. I'm not big on Morgan State. Rice, while off to a good start, is not very good. Kansas City's rebuilding. George Washington is, like, not just rebuilding, but, like, they need to dig the basement first to you know, create the foundation in which to build on. And East Carolina's just bad.
And not picking anything crazy out of the Rice-Milwaukee pairing there, I guess.
Yeah, but I think the winner will lose to Liberty.
Okay. All right. And obviously no love for Morgan State either. I think we're going to go right on to the next one. I mean, it's a fun under-the-radar event, but it's not really involving, other than the potential of a Liberty-Evansville championship game, not anything huge there. But Tytel, I want to bring you back in for the next event, which is starting Friday as well, the Paradise Jam, which has a few more names in it, including the fascinating boat battle of the teams from Bowling Green in the fourth quarter final.
Yeah, I like this field a lot. I would have liked it more last year, especially in the case of Nevada, and I guess also the Lopes, the way they're playing this year. Pick is Cincinnati. They got a first-year coach in John Brannan. He benched their senior star, Jerron Cumberland, on Thursday for undisclosed reasons. I'm going to go to Stalika shortly to see if he has any inside info on that. But they're doing it as usual in Cincinnati with defense. Great on defense. Four senior starters. Big man in the middle, 7-1 center, Chris Vogt. Stalika, any word on Cumberland? Is he back on the roster, back in the game yet?
I don't have any info as far as how long his suspension would be. Although the only thing I'm
cutting edge reporting there, Stalika.
This is breaking news. We have no info.
We're breaking into coverage, Stalika.
You mean developing news?
We don't have any info. All right.
Well, let me ask you, Rocco, Western Kentucky, we like this team heading into the season. They haven't really played anybody yet. This is their chance, isn't it?
It's their chance. It's also Bowling Green's chance. I mean, Bowling Green's a lot of our pick to win the MAC. I think that opening game's certainly the best opening game. I actually like Bowling Green a little bit more than Western Kentucky right now. So it'll be really interesting and a little bit of a test in the semis for Cincy. I think Cincy, compared to these other seven teams overall, has about this much to gain and about this much to lose. So a lot of pressure on Cincinnati to get three wins here.
One thing I do not like about this field, it's very top heavy towards the bottom of the bracket right here.
That makes it bottom heavy.
Calico,
Grand Canyon, Fordham, Nevada.
Nevada's
I really don't know who's going to come out of that.
But one of those four teams is going to advance to the finals. That's wow. Yeah, that's kind of a shocking there.
Just a quick note, there are a few bracket events we'll get to later on the show that are not part of actually exempt events. So there's a couple of teams we're going to see here twice coming up tonight. I think we're going to see Liberty twice tonight, and we may see, I think, Bowling Green again as well later on, but in a non-exempt
event. We're probably going to see Hawaii four or five times.
Let's go over to the Hall of Fame tip-off. There's two brackets here, the Springfield bracket, the Naismith bracket. And Tytel, let me start with you on the Springfield bracket up there with the Vermont team that we just saw play a great game against Virginia tonight.
I mean, if you don't want to give Anthony Lamb the Conference Player of the Year trophy, like, you're insane. Mm-hmm. He's the best player in the conference. He might be. I believe he was honorable mention All-American last year. I see no reason why he won't repeat. He had a career high in threes tonight on the road at the defending champs. What's interesting here, a couple things. Number one, it's a neutral site game, but they're playing at the Mohegan Sun against Central Connecticut State. I think they'll win it, but I'm interested to see what the fan base is like for that game.
Does Central Connecticut State have fans?
Not many. Maybe Danielle Marshall's family. They got three road wins, St. Bonnie's, Bucknell, and the St. John's win. I believe they're first against a Big East team on the road in like 95 years or something ridiculous.
92.
The defense has been solid, not allowing more than 68 points a game. And Lamb averaging a double-double. He's playing like one of the best players in the country right now, frankly.
Obviously, the pick, I think, by all of us is going to be Vermont to win this. But, Rocco, let me ask you about the other bracket here, which is the more power conference teams, including Virginia, Arizona State, and St. John's in the bottom bracket.
Virginia, who beat St. John's in a campus game.
Yeah.
Vermont beat St. John's in a campus.
Yeah, hard to imagine anybody competing with Virginia's pack line defense. Arizona State, a guard heavy team. St. John's, two prominent scorers in Huron and Figueroa, but not enough meat on the bone, if you will, to hang with the Cavs. St. John's, Arizona State will probably be the good game that comes out of this, and maybe the third place game will be good. UMass is improving, but this should be called the Virginia bracket, and the other one should be called the Vermont bracket, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So I guess with Virginia and Vermont having played tonight and Virginia winning, Virginia's already the champion of the overall Hall of Fame tip-off. Yes, but
that was for the title.
We also have the these are games now starting on Sunday, is the MGM Resorts main event heavyweight bracket.
Heavyweight division. Often see Wyoming in heavyweight, but how about that first game there, Chad? We love the front range.
It is. We got Colorado and Wyoming in the first game, TCU and Clemson in the second game here in the heavyweight. There's a middleweight bracket, but it's just a round robin, so that's why it's not on the screen. But Tytel, yeah, I think you had some thoughts on this four-team event. Have a surprise winner, maybe?
No surprise. We'll keep it with a little West Coast bias with the Buffaloes. They're 3-0, three double-digit wins against top 175 teams. So it's one thing to be undefeated in mid-November, but to do it against decent teams is nice. What's weird, they're actually shooting better from three-point land than two-point land. I don't know if it's the Mountain Air or whatever. A nice veteran crew, three juniors and two sophomores in the starting lineup. And Rocco, can you remind us where Colorado plays their Pac-12 tourney games at? What city?
Yes, they play in Las Vegas.
And that's where the MGM Resorts is located. Well, hello.
The old location, yes.
Yeah,
but it's a different arena. I don't think that this is at the same place where the Pac-12
is. And
it's
another,
across the street.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, another note, the Vegas 16, the short-lived phenomenal event, was also hosted in Las Vegas.
Stalika, I was going to go to David, but now you're getting this next week. The Gulf Coast Showcase. You being an Ohio guy, your Miami, Ohio team is in this event. So any thoughts on as well as Wright State, you being a Cincinnati guy in here as well?
Well, as much as I would like to see Mother Miami come out of that side of the bracket, I think the game of the first round is going to have to be South Alabama and Northeastern. I mean, South Alabama, I probably would have said you could make an argument they would have been the preseason favorite to win this field. And they may still be, but you also have to contend with Wright State on the other side and Murray State, even without John Morant. Could be a potential noisemaker in this field.
I'll tell you what, this Northeastern team put up 63 points on the road at Holy Cross in the first half tonight. A very impressive performance. They scored 101 on the game, but obviously they let the foot off the pedal. But David, I kind of go with Northeastern here after what I saw out of them tonight.
Yeah, and we've seen some good we've seen some good ball out of them before, but also I think that they've kind of had some letdowns. A lot of teams in this have. Wright State, I think, losing to, was it Kent State over the weekend? Weber just wasn't really good at all. Murray's kind of held up their end of the bargain, but, South Alabama, after a tremendous effort against Auburn, goes out and loses their next game against a team that you really would have expected them to beat. So, a lot of teams probably needing this event as a bounce back almost.
Yeah, and Weber State still suffering from an injury. I believe one of their top players is still out for this tournament, so that's going to hurt against the Wright State and probably put them in the loser bracket as well. Let's go over to the Cayman Islands Classic, Rocco, with another talk about hurt teams, New Mexico State in this event, as well as a George Mason team who is now 5-0 for the first time in school history after their win tonight.
Yeah, well, good for George Mason. I just don't think they've really – had some real
they
competition.
Haven't no but they're 5-0.
And but I love that first round matchup, a great CAA old rivalry between George Mason and Old Dominion. Good way to get the tournament started in the first round. I was really impressed. I got a chance to watch Old Dominion play at Northeastern last week on Flow Hoops, free plug for them. But Old Dominion looked really good. They shut down Northeastern's best player, Jordan Rowland, who was the nation's leading scorer coming into that game. And I was really impressed. I'll take Old Dominion to win this tournament. And Wazoo, of course, with CJ Ellaby and some of the guys I told you about in the preseason, they could make some noise. And I don't see much out of the top half with a lot of disappointments coming out of that top half so far this year.
Yeah. But South Florida with injury problems, Loyola Chicago does not look good. New Mexico State with injury problems. And David, here's the big question. Can Nebraska win the seventh place game?
Well, that's what I was like, we have two power conference teams in this tournament. Great for this tournament, because had they not bracketed it the way that they did, that would have been a hell of a seventh place game.
Tytel, you agree Old Dominion to win this event?
I guess so. I mean, I think that New Mexico State can bounce back. They do have five senior starters. Obviously, losing in Tucson by 30 is not the way to get your season off to a good start. But they need to shut down. They need to step out on the arc. They're allowing over 43% from behind the arc. That's one of the worst in the country.
Yeah. Let's go over to the
I love this. I just love this. If we can circle this, the Cayman Islands Classic, location Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, this is the visiting team, the campus site teams from that Cayman Islands Classic we just discussed. Four additional teams that are part of the event play a little four team event here in Omaha. Loyola,
which is not the Cayman Islands.
Loyola, Maryland, IUPUI, Southern, and the host team, Omaha, Salika, Omaha to win it. And let's move on. Did we lose Salika again?
I don't.
Even no, he's moving.
Loyola, maybe?
Rocco, are you going to go with Loyola to pick up the...
I mean, if they could ever get Sanzi Aldama on the court, I would definitely go with Loyola. I don't think he'll be available, though. So, Omaha with the edge at home. I'll agree with you.
All right. We're going to head to the NIT season tip-off. These games are – we're talking about games that are starting on Monday here. They've got two brackets of the season tip-off, both in Orlando bracket and the championship bracket in Brooklyn. David, starting with the Orlando bracket there, Yale, Western Michigan, Seattle, and Bucknell.
I know Yale's probably going to be the popular pick, and I guess they're mine, but I kind of like what I've seen out of Bucknell so far. Wasn't expecting much out of them with how much rebuilding they had to do, but, you know, they've played pretty, at least better than what I thought. And, you know, Seattle has been a little bit of a disappointment. I know that they weren't great in conference last year, but they were so beat up. And prior to that, you know, when they were healthy last year, they looked pretty good. They were healthy again this year. I was expecting a little more out of them. They hadn't shown it, at least not yet. If it turns out to be Bucknell and Yale, I think that's going to be kind of a fun game.
Yeah, and Bucknell played at Penn State tonight, did not have much in them, but it was at Penn State. But let me kind of segue there. Salika, do we have you back?
Yes, you do.
Okay, great. We have Salika back. I want to ask you about this, the actual real NIT season tip-off bracket in Brooklyn, which is one of the more fascinating four-team events. I think it's very evenly matched, these four teams, don't you?
Well, the funny thing is, as far as Penn State fans are concerned, two of their longest-running rivals are, at least in terms of games played, are actually in the NIT. One was Bucknell, who they beat tonight, and another one is Syracuse, who they have a long history with. It's been kind of dormant in recent years. But that being said, I think Penn State should be the favorite in the first game. Syracuse probably going to be favored in the second game as well. But they're going to be playing in pretty much de facto road environment come Friday, though.
Yeah. Rocco, who do you see winning this thing?
Ah, man, I love that first game. I'm pretty high on what I've seen with Penn State the last couple of times out, and I loved Ole Miss coming into preseason. They just haven't played any big games yet, so we don't know how they're going to perform in the bright lights. So I'm going to give a small edge to Penn State, and I'll have Penn State winning it.
Tata, you agree with him, Penn State?
I do. I was at the game the other day when they destroyed Georgetown by 15 in D.C. They're blowing out everybody by 15-plus points. The team is shooting over 40% from behind the arc. I'll go with Pat Chambers' squad.
Yeah, I like this Penn State team a lot.
David, let me stick with you here to one of the premier events of the preseason. It is the Maui Invitational. It starts on Monday. This year we've got Michigan State out there. We've got Kansas out there, BYU, UCLA, among the others. But, you know, I think it's looking like a Kansas-Michigan State final, but Is it going to get there and anybody else?
Yeah, well, when you look at what Michigan State's got to do, they've got to beat a Virginia Tech team that probably won't get to –
undefeated.
Yeah, well, who's undefeated, but is probably not getting to the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament. And then Dayton, who's I thought was going to be really good this year, but they've kind of like – I mean, they haven't looked good. I know that it's bye games, but you know, that Dayton-Georgia game's interesting because I think it's the first real test that either of them have had so far. But whoever wins it, I just don't see them standing up to Michigan State. And then you got Kansas. Yeah, they're just going to blow through that.
We're not going to see the Chaminade upset this year?
Chaminade might beat Virginia Tech in the seventh place game.
All right. Tatel, what about that BYU UCLA game? I mean, a couple teams that could really use that win at least, especially with Kansas staring at them versus having to play Chaminade should they lose and losing at a quality game.
Yeah, I think it'll actually be a good matchup. Ordinarily, I would take UCLA, but they've certainly fallen on hard times recently. BYU is far from perfect, but I think they'll get the win and then get destroyed by Kansas. I'll defer to our Pac-12 expert, Rocco. Have you been impressed by UCLA so far? Or?
Not the first couple of nights out, but I watched them last night in the timeout before, and they thoroughly dominated. They're starting to play a lot more physical Cronin-style basketball, so I'm really curious to see how it goes against some of the stiffer competition coming.
I'll tell you what's real interesting, I've kind of alluded to this already, though, but with this BYU-UCLA game, the winner of it will likely have a game against Kansas, which you'll probably lose, but it will be a quality loss on the resume, and then still have a quality game in the fifth place game. The loser of that game has got to play Chaminade, so you get a non-D1 game on your resume, and then you get whoever the worst team is. You probably get, you know, Vatek or Georgia. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get the quality games out of this event if you lose that game. That's why it could be a huge game.
Yeah, that is a pivotal
resume at the end of the season if you're on the bubble.
Right, yeah. That's a really good point, Chad.
Even bigger for BYU just because they're in the WCC and the Pac-12 looks a lot stronger at this point.
Let me follow up on one thing that Rocco said here. UCLA currently has a KenPom tempo rating in the 320, so I'd say they've picked up on Cronin ball quite perfectly thus far.
Yeah.
David. The exciting Maui on the mainland being played in Johnson City, Tennessee, which is very close to Maui. Delaware State, Charleston,
just
Southern,
like Maui.
Utah. ETSU, yeah, we like this team a lot, don't we, though?
Yeah, we do. East Tennessee State, we have a campus game tonight against Kansas. They fell behind by, I want to say it was 18. They got as close as 5, but it really good effort there. Clearly better than what anybody else there has to offer. I know Southern Utah actually kind of had a game where they blew it in their campus game against BYU. But I think East Tennessee State dominates. If you were to combine those three other teams into one and form an all-star team, I still think East Tennessee State would blow them out.
So Southern Utah is rated the highest KenPom team in Big Sky right now, so they could put up a fight.
Yeah.
Even above Montana Tech?
Montana Tech needs to get the invite, but they might have earned that.
The Legends Classic, Tytel, being played in Brooklyn starting on Monday next week. Wisconsin, Auburn, New Mexico, Richmond.
I'm looking forward to the Auburn-Wisconsin title game. That should be fantastic with Bruce Pearl against Greg Gard. As far as Auburn, I'm impressed by them. I really thought they were going to take a downturn this year after losing so many players from last year's Final Four team. But 5-0, four of their wins against top 150 competition. Four senior starters, but the best might be freshman Isaac Okoro. Scored in double digits in all 5 of their games so far. And they're playing with heavy hearts. Director of Player Development, Marquise Daniels, got in a car accident Saturday night. The good news is, according to what I've seen, he did have surgery. It was a success. He is recovering. So if they can keep their heads on straight and have something to play for and try to win one for their Director of Player Development, I think they can take this.
So your pick to win it is?
Go Tigers.
Going to go Tigers. Rocco, you agree with him or you want to go Badgers?
I'll agree with Auburn.
Okay. All right. David, the Hall of Fame Classic starting Monday. It's a Monday-Tuesday event. Maybe a little bit weaker field than we've seen this event in past years with Butler, Oklahoma, Missouri, Stanford.
Butler, I wasn't expecting much out of them with how much they've had to deal with injuries, but they haven't lost yet. And I mean, they've been blowing through teams, so maybe they can make some noise out here. This is certainly an opportunity for them to add some meat to their schedule. Oklahoma sweated out William and Mary the other night, but did get it done. I'm still not that sold on Stanford, and Mizzou is just eye gougingly bad. I mean, they've just played some ugly, ugly games. But there is a team from the – I mean, it's nice to have Oklahoma out there from the Big 12, but there's another team that I think would have been better, and it could have put us on pace to see, like –
David, wait till next year, damn it.
What's the countdown? We're only 408 days away, I think.
So, yes, Kansas, Missouri. Stalico, we got an interesting event at Fort Myers. The Fort Myers tip off the championship bracket there. We have Pitt, K-State, a Northwestern team that nobody could figure out, and Bradley.
Well, even Bradley, he got some early returns that we're still trying to figure out as far as the Braves go, but I've got to think that K-State's going to be a heavy favorite in this field.
Yeah, Tytel, you agree with him?
Yes, and what's weird is that this team is undefeated and the defense is solid, not allowing more than 56 points a game. Yeah. I call them Team M&M because they got three starters, McCall Maween, Montavious Murphy, and Mike McGurl. My prediction, which is ridiculous, is that they could be undefeated heading into January and then go 0-18 in Big 12 regular season play. I don't think it'll happen, but it's on the table.
That's kind of the reverse of what we've seen. We've only seen out of the SWAC a few times when teams go winless and they go undefeated
Texas,
in the SWAC.
That was play. Texas Southern 2 years ago where they went winless in non-con and then
almost went undefeated. How about heading out to Cancun? Rocco, we've got two brackets out here in Cancun. We'll start with the premier one, the Riviera bracket that's going to be on CBS Sports Network. Wichita State's in it and West Virginia's in it and Northern Iowa team that could be make some noise as well.
Yeah, I like the makeup of this four-teamer. I think after what we saw with South Carolina earlier tonight, Wichita,
home loss to BU tonight, by the way, but go ahead. Yeah,
unbelievable. Gonna definitely go with the Shockers after seeing that today. And then Northern Iowa team I like a lot. They had to struggle go to overtime over the weekend with Northern Colorado, but they found a way to get the win. West Virginia, I'm just overall high on, and that gets us to a Mountaineer Shocker final. I got to go with the Mountaineers, but I would not be shocked if the Shockers pulled it out. It'll be a good final.
That's why I'm going to differ from you. I'm going to take Northern Iowa to knock off West Virginia in that first game and come back the next night and win this whole thing, David. I think this is where a team like this can win two games and put themselves on the map here.
Yeah, and if Northern Iowa is going to, like, make a case for themselves and be as good as we think we can be, like, this is – they're not going to get many chances the rest of the way better than this. They've kind of got to make it happen. It's a great opportunity for a team like them to build their resume. I do think they're pretty good, but they haven't been tested yet the way they will be out there. I got to tell you, I like this Wichita State team. I think that they're back. I think that because of – the first half of last season, everybody kind of forgot how good they typically are. They finished strong in the latter part of the year. They've looked good this year. I think Wichita State wins it.
All right.
And I just turned on the New Mexico UTEP game, and the volume was all the way up, so I just got blasted out of my chair or off the
We really don't want to know that, David. But Salika, the Mayan bracket there, the other bracket, the kind of the under the radar type bracket. We just talked about BU with the win at South Carolina. Does that make them the favorite here?
Well, I think the thing is, I would probably say whoever wins game two more likely than not is going to win the Mayan bracket right here. Northern Colorado has also been a little bit feisty themselves, and will probably actually take the Bears to win the whole thing and end up beating Gardner-Webb in the title game.
Yeah, Gardner-Webb, an NCAA tournament team last year. I don't think they have as much back. UT Martin's always kind of in the middle of the pack there in the Ohio Valley, so I think that's kind of where we predict them again this year. It could be an interesting event there. There could be a couple good games, actually, at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a couple good games in the next event we got here. Look at this.
Oh, yeah, this is a decent little event here. Tytel, let me start with you. Obviously, annually one of the premier events since it started about 10, 12 years ago, whatever it was, the Battle for Atlantis here.
I mean, I don't know if we're ever going to see the PK80 again, but as far as a tournament with multiple teams who are going to make the tournament and multiple teams who are going to go far, this has got to be one of the premier ones. Stacked with All-American players and great coaches and everything. I'm picking the Zags only because they look amazing. 4-0, four wins by 30-plus points. Top 20 in the nation, shooting from both two-point land and three-point land. And they're doing it in an interesting way. They're not doing it with guys who learn the Zag way and come up from freshman to senior. They're not doing it with McDonald's All-Americans. They're doing it with transfers. The backcourt, Ryan Woolridge, who came over from North Texas, and Admon Gilder, who came over from Texas A&M, they're already on the same page. They're looking amazing, and I'm starting to get nervous because they're coming to Tucson in a couple of weeks, and we are going to be in for it.
At Rocco, though, this fourth quarter final between Seton Hall and Oregon, two teams I think have Final Four chances this year, if you look at, at least what some people are prognosticating for them.
Yeah, and I think they have Final Four chances for very different reasons. I think Oregon plays great effective defense with length and a lot of balance offensively. Seton Hall, of course, just the Powell show, Miles Powell show could happen on any night and lead them to victory. So it's a good early season matchup. I do lean towards Oregon just because of that balance. They could have a bad shooting night and still pull out an ugly win, whereas if Seton Hall doesn't have a good shooting night, they're pretty much in trouble. I agree with what Titel said about Gonzaga. Struggling a little bit tonight, but beyond that, they have tremendous depth and a lot of talent. I mean, this guy, Anton Watson, was State Player of the Year above Jaden McDaniels, the phenom for UW, and he's not even starting for Gonzaga. But he has put up over 20 points off the bench a couple times already. I think we'll end up with a Gonzaga-North Carolina final, which is really intriguing because when we get to the end of the year, that will mean that we'll have played twice. North Carolina is making the trip to Spokane next month. And I will agree with Titel. Gonzaga is going to win the title of this tournament.
I kind of agree with about the Gonzaga pick here, but I look at this event and, you know, I kind of think that Carolina might be in for a trap in one of these first two games. I would not be shocked to see. I don't know that Alabama has it, but Michigan maybe.
Michigan is always kind of sneaky good. They normally don't start off in the rankings, and, man, they normally end up there, though. So, I mean, if this – are they going to do it again? I mean, are they just going to just blow – kick down to the door to the national stage? I like this Oregon team a lot, too. It would really be fun if – well, I guess it would be fun either way to see Gonzaga play Seton Hall as well. But a Gonzaga-Oregon game would be phenomenal.
And Sleek, I know you're just looking forward to Alabama-Southern Miss in the seventh-place game, correct?
Yep.
Good football right over there, you know.
Sleek, let me stick with you here. Another very good event here, the Orlando Invitational with Maryland in it, Marquette in it as well, USC.
I would say Maryland is going to be the clear favorite as far as the top of the bracket, but USC and Marquette, assuming they match up, that should be an interesting semifinal. Really depends on which Marquette team shows up. Was it the one that came back to beat Purdue? Was it the one that got slaughtered up at Wisconsin? But by the same token, I could see a team like Davidson potentially being a noisemaker in the field, but not the same Davidson team that we saw towards the very beginning of the year, at least not the one getting swamped at Charlotte.
Yeah, yeah. Titel, what do you think? You think which Marquette team shows up? Is that going to determine who wins this?
Who wins game number four?
Or who wins the whole thing? Yeah.
No, I mean, I love Marcus Howard, and he could arguably be the best player in the country, if not the best scorer. But this Maryland team is legit. 3-0, three wins by 18-plus points. It helps when your opponents combine to shoot 50% from the line. In an era of one and done, I would argue they have one of the best sophomore classes in the nation. When you look at Jalen Smith, Aaron Wiggins, Eric Ayala, I didn't believe in this team, but I'm starting to come around, and I really think that this we could see, like, I don't know about Final Four, but I think Elite Eight is, like, possible with this Terps team.
All right. Rocco, the Wooden Legacy, another one of the more premier events. I'm going to get your comments on this too right after Rocco as well, because I know you've got some rooting interest in this in the bottom half of this event, but maybe at least the top half of the event there, Rocco, with Providence, Charleston, Long Beach.
Yeah, in the top half of the bracket, I think Providence is a cut above the rest. I know they lost to Northwestern, and that gives the other three teams a lot of hope. But as long as Providence comes to play, which, you know, Coach Cooley usually has the Friars ready. I don't see why they can't get to the finals. Wake Forest already been pretty disappointing. Even Charleston has had struggles against teams I didn't expect them to have struggles with. Long Beach State's just, you know, a team that's 220 plus. So big long shot with the Sharks or the Beach. I guess they're still the Beach.
It's the Beach. They're just the Beach. They're not the 49ers. They're not the Sharks, even though that's the official team school nickname. They're just the Beach.
Just the Beach. Yes.
Just the Beach. But Titel, I think you're going to actually be there, correct?
I am. The press pass came through. The plane tickets have been purchased. The friend with the inflatable mattress I can crash on. Everything is thumbs up for Thanksgiving. My dad is going to hate me because I'm ditching him for Thanksgiving. But as I told him, it's not often that Penn and Arizona play in the same time zone, much less the same gym. And they're on the same side of the bracket, as you see. Penn beat UCF a couple years ago somehow, and Arizona looks unstoppable. So if you scroll down, right, you don't have to scroll. It's right there. The Game 3 winner and Game 4 winner at 11:30 p.m. Eastern time. Game number 8, the semi on Friday. That could be the John Nightmare game of which alma mater does he cheer for. Thankfully, they both were red and blue, so I'm covered each way. It was actually, believe it or not, at the last time they played, which was a while ago, I believe after I graduated, December of 96, they played in Tucson at the Bank One Fiesta Bowl Classic. Arizona beat us 93-51. I sat courtside with a press pass, and it was tough to see my college get dominated by my future law school, but it was still amazing. To give you an idea of how long ago that was, there was a freshman on that Arizona team named Josh Pastner.
Wow.
He didn't actually play much.
What I can tell you is if the matchup does happen, I think 93-51 sounds about right for what it's going to be this time around as well. I think Arizona, overwhelming favorite in this event, and should dominate it. David, out in Las Vegas, we got a pair of brackets here, the host and the visitor bracket of the Las Vegas Invitational, with Texas Tech in there and going up against Iowa and then probably Creighton.
You think Creighton? I like the San Diego State.
Okay, maybe
you got
San Diego State. Okay,
yeah. I mean, they kind of impressed me with their win at BYU, and this Texas Tech team, they haven't really been tested yet. I've still really big on them. I think this might be kind of a breakout event for them. Not so much big on Iowa. Creighton has looked okay, I guess, but I kind of like San Diego State and Texas Tech to get to the championship game.
And Texas Tech to win it, I assume.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Rocco, what about this? The visitors bracket here with the team that is the Sharks, Long Island, among others.
Yeah, well, North Florida, I think, is the team to watch here. They picked second in the Atlantic Sun by the media. And, you know, I know Florida's been a big disappointment, but they hung with Florida in the opener for a while. I'll take the Ospreys.
You'll take the Ospreys to win this event here.
You're not taking Baby Shark? I am very disappointed.
Stalika, not Tennessee State either, though, huh?
Nope.
No, not Tennessee State. All right. Emerald Coast Classic.
They beat Lipscomb last week, though.
The Emerald Coast Classic, Tytel, has put together by far the best field that this event has ever put together. They've had very mediocre events, you know, with like Conference USA caliber teams in the past. Suddenly we're here with Florida State, Tennessee, VCU, and Purdue. Amazingly good event, I think.
You're 100% right. I thought the only thing nice about Niceville was the name of the town, but it's going to be four nice teams on display in the bracket there. I'm going with Purdue only because, out of pity, because their schedule is ridiculous. So they've lost to Texas. They've lost to Marquette. They're going to play and Florida State C. Then who do they get to host on December 4th? Oh, the defending champs in Virginia. The good news for the Boilers is that they have an NBA-size lineup, 6'4", 6'4", 6'7", 6'9", and, of course, Matt Harms, 7 in the middle. And much like Gonzaga has brought in transfers who've been able to succeed immediately, I point to Jahad Proctor coming over from High Point, averaging 16 points a game and only one turnover a game. He holds on to the ball. It's going to be tough, and I think any of these four could win it, and I think all four of them could end up in the NCAA tournament. My pick is Purdue.
Rocco, you want to differ?
I have to root for Tennessee. They just beat the Huskies. So they had a great game plan in that game. They made a huge comeback against Murray State. They were down 9 at halftime, ended up winning by 20. I think they outscored them by close to 30 in the second half. Florida State, of course, the local team, a somewhat local team, should have a pretty good contingent. You know those VCU fans are crazy, and they'll send a lot of people down there as well to have a good time in Niceville. I'm going to root for Tennessee, but I'm going to take Florida State to beat VCU. And I mean, this is really tough to pick, but I'll just go with Florida State VCU just to be different.
You're going to pick Purdue to go 0-2 then?
I am.
Oh.
But it's probably not going to happen. That actually doesn't sound right, but something surprising is going to come out.
Well, one of these teams is coming out of your 0-2, so that's
exactly.
David, how about the other bracket here? I think Jacksonville State is clearly better than anybody else in there.
Yeah, Jacksonville State, a decent team, and clearly better than the other crap teams that are there.
Yeah, Chicago State, Chattanooga, Alabama State, all Yeah, Chattanooga's had some good seasons, not this year.
Hey, he had a good week last week.
Yeah. Stalica, the Boca Raton Beach Classic.
You cannot call that a classic.
And the Hall of Fame bracket with Illinois, Chicago versus Florida Atlantic and San Diego against the Bonnies, fresh off their win in Toronto over Rutgers.
This is actually the upper half of these games right here compared to what's below. All right.
If we're going to call that the Hall of Fame, then Pete Rose definitely belongs.
Go ahead, John.
This is one where I could probably say Illinois-Chicago could arguably be a favorite right here. St. Bonaventure is going to be the quote-unquote power team, but they're going to be awfully young, and I'm not even sure they get past San Diego.
I disagree. I think the Bonnies, you know, are going to win this event, and it's not just because I saw them beat Rutgers. I think they're starting to put things together, and I think you're right, they are young, but I think they're starting to put things together. That Rutgers win may be what catapults them to a victory in this event. David, you want to address the other bracket here? Mercer, Canisius, Hofstra, and Holy Cross, who gave up 63 points in the first half tonight.
Yeah, Holy Cross has had some really good teams, and this is not one of them. Canisius, they've had some decent years, not so much this year. Mercer, how about that time they beat Duke? Wasn't that something? Not so good this year. Hofstra has been a little bit of a disappointment.
That's the sad thing. I've been to Holy Cross. I like Papagino's, but Ralph Willard and Bill Carmody are not walking through that door.
Right, yeah.
Are you going with Hofstra, David?
Yeah. Okay. The Colonial, everybody from the Colonial, minus Bill and Mary, has been a little bit disappointing, but yeah, I think Hofstra rolls through this.
Okay. We're going to hit some of the events that are not – we're getting into December now, and these are a couple events that are not – technically exempt events. They will count as two games in these team schedules. Every year UTEP hosts the Sun Belt Invitational Rocco with Kent State and Irvine there. I think we have a potential little bit very interesting championship game set up here though.
Yeah, I mean Irvine, I think you're alluding to, is probably a slight favorite against Kent State.
Right. And then against UTEP.
Yeah. UTEP should take care of business against A&T, of course. So I think that would be a pretty good final. I saw Irvine last night. They played pretty well with Colorado for about 25 minutes, about 15 minutes or 5 minutes into the second half. They fell apart. They got a couple nice pieces still left, but losing a few of their pieces last year, they're not the same. I think UTEP should be able to coast.
The battle at the boardwalk. I guess I'll take this as me in my backyard here in Atlantic City. Yep. I was
plenty
at
of good seats still available.
I was at this event last year watching LaSalle against, was it Alabama A&M, and a battle of two winless teams at that time in late December.
Yeah.
we have a slightly better this year, I guess, with Bowling Green at you, which I think is clearly head and shoulders better than anybody else in this event. Although Drexel being somewhat local an hour away, they may get one or two fans there, but if LaSalle's draw to this event last year is any sign, they're not going to get very many fans there. Yeah. Titella, you're down in D.C. How about the battle for the Capitol and Liberty's second event that we've discussed tonight?
I got to tell you, it's a sad state of affairs. So they used to have this the BB&T Classic where they'd have Georgetown and like three other teams once they had Florida State as a traveling opponent. So this has been, they have had good DC tournaments in the past. This is not one of them. Liberty is the pick. I have them winning the other tournament as well, the Island of the Bahamas Showcase. This team is 4-0. They could be undefeated when traveling to LSU in late December. I don't think they'll win that game, but I think they also could also go undefeated in the Atlantic Sun. Three seniors in the starting lineup. The pick is Liberty.
I think the one saving grace for the battle for the Capitol, they don't have to sit through GW this year.
David, last event for the night is the
Diamond Head.
Is what everybody does on Christmas Day, which is watch the final round of the Diamond Head Classic. Yeah. We've got Boise State. We've got Washington. So, Rocco, I'll get to you in a second about this event as well. UTEP, who we mentioned, there's another team playing in two events at Hawaii, of course.
Georgia Tech's only chance to win any sort of a tournament. Washington out there pretty good. UTEP, a bit of a surprise. I don't know if you're watching now, but undefeated on the season, albeit a bit of a home court hero, currently leading New Mexico. And then Houston's out there. Boise State, I'm not quite that sold on them, but a decent little, I mean, this one's hit or miss. Sometimes it's normally decent. Sometimes it's really good. But I think this is a pretty, you know, Houston, Washington, UTEP. It could be kind of a fun tournament.
I've been kind of disappointed in Houston, but Rocco, I think your Washington team should be favored to win this event.
They got to look at this as a must-win tournament because besides the home game with Gonzaga, it's all that's left really on the non-conference schedule. There's no true road games. Fortunately, the Pac-12 is shaping up so far to be much better this year, so that should provide more opportunities than we anticipated a few weeks ago. But yeah, Washington has the most talent, but you know, this UTEP team scares me. They have a ton of talent. They're playing great. Of course,
yeah, they are.
They beat Texas Tech in the preseason, as everybody knows as well, on top of what they're doing tonight. And then Houston, I'm still pretty high on with Quentin Grimes being eligible. They made a nice comeback tonight to beat Rice. They're obviously not playing at their A game yet, but who knows, by December 22nd, they might be unstoppable. So it should be a really good tournament, I think.
Okay. I guess on that note, let me go ahead and pull this screen down here, and let me run through each of you for any other final thoughts about the exempt tournaments or anything else you want to discuss, actually, in a final thought. And Tytel, let me start with you.
So I'm going to keep it in the great state of Arizona. For any of you who have not seen the Wildcats yet, please, if you have some free time over Thanksgiving, after you're done with the turkey and if there's some bad football on, try to check out Arizona, not because they're my team, not because of the McDonald's All-American backcourt of Nico Mannion and Josh Green. The star of the show, 6'11 freshman Zeke Nagy. Not a McDonald's All-American, but the kid does not miss. 33 of 38 from inside the arc, 18 of 21 from the free throw line. I don't know if he's going to make the NBA. I don't know if he's going to be Pac-12 Rookie of the Year. The kid is not missing, and the Wildcats are greatly improved because of him.
Stalika.
Yeah, we didn't really get into it much last night, but Seton Hall had a little bit of a trouble off the court, at least a little further trouble relating to Torian Thompson and some tampering allegations going on. So it turns out, in addition to the two-game coaching suspension that was self-imposed by the school relates to Kevin Willard, the Pirates are now going to be on 3 years of probation and are also going to lose one scholarship beginning next year. So this could hamper their recruiting a little bit.
It could. Rocco.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to comment on the Gulf Coast tournament.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We missed you on that one.
who knew? But doing some last-minute prepping for the show tonight, I noticed how many solid mid-major teams, if we're allowed to call them that, let's say under-the-radar teams, that there are in this field, but not like a clear-cut favorite. So you've got Murray State, Wright State, South Alabama, Northeastern, Drake. Northeastern's lost twice last week and then, you know, wins by 60 tonight. Drake still without one of their best players due to an unfortunate shooting incident that happened over the summer. But he might be eligible by then. It's going to be a total toss-up, and somebody's coming in with three wins that could ultimately be Q2 because it will be all be on the floor. So I'm just really interested to see how the Gulf Coast showcase goes, because it'll really springboard one of these teams forward.
Yeah, and that's a great point. With each of these events, somebody's coming out of them either 2-0 or 3-0, and could be a huge springboard for their season. And somebody's coming out of them 0-2 or 0-3 and is going to have a huge uphill battle the rest of the season. So that's, you know, kind of the reward and the danger of some of these events. But David, let me let you finish off the show tonight.
This is, I mean, if you like college basketball and you follow the whole season, this week and a half that we're entering is the busiest week and a half of the year. As you pointed out yesterday, I think off air, it's not the single busiest day. That's the first day, but there's just game after game after game, and it's all day long. It's essentially 9 Saturdays in a row. In doing the write-ups for the site, and I know Stalika helps out with them, sometimes those Saturdays, it's like an hour getting everything written up and reviewed. It's that way every day for these 9 days. You really learn for the first time. You get an idea before that, but like, you really learn by the end of these tournaments who's good and who isn't. Not that there isn't continual movement after them, but the season sort of takes the shape that it does once these tournaments are over. And we will be about 7 or 8 games in. A lot of these teams will. That's 2/3 of a football season. So it's just I in a way, I'm not going to rate it ahead of championship week or the NCAA tournament, but this is just great. It's Thanksgiving. You got the days off. It's just wall-to-wall college basketball. It's your first time seeing a lot of these teams. You really learn a lot about them. They're in unique environments, you know, these small intimate settings. Some of them are in ballrooms. Some of them are in, you know, basements, I think, and casinos and, like,
David Griggs's backyard. Yeah, David Griggs's
backyard. I think one time we were going to try to get a game on a roof of a skyscraper. We were going to put a court in a semi-truck and drive it around town. We had all kinds of good ideas one year, but it is just a really unique part of the season, and I love it. I really do.
Yeah, and really, after you get through these 2 weeks of these exempt events, things kind of slow down again until you get into conference play. You got the Big Ten ACC Challenge and a few other little things, but so this is where you get your real basketball fix, at least probably for the next month or so after this. But I do want to take a chance to thank everybody for joining us. We will have
You're welcome, Chad.
We'll have an Under the Radar podcast coming up Thursday night as normal. We'll be back with our regular schedule starting next week. But on behalf of John Tytel and Rocco Miller up here, John Slica and David Griggs down there, I'm Chad Sherwood, and we will talk to you again real soon.